John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, 5. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 7, Mark chapter 12, and Romans chapter 1. You will see these verses on the screen today. Very powerful verses for us. 2 Samuel 7:14 and following. Mark chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I would encourage you to take a few moments to look these verses up. Put a marker there so that you can have them ready when we get to them in just a few moments. 2 Samuel 7:14 and following, Mark chapter 12, 35 and 36, and Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. You're aware of the fact that the class that is being taught by John will be after the second session today. I appreciate John using the same terminology that I use, and we emphasize RTF, our Restored to Fellowship. We're aware of the fact that it's important for us as we study God's Word to be sure that our hearts are in tune, that we're in fellowship with our Lord. And 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is wonderful to know that we can be in right relationship to Jesus Christ. He's given us that means. He's given us that privilege. And we can admit, name our faults and failures and sins, and accept the fact that the Scripture teaches us that we are forgiven. And we are in harmony with our Lord. In the light of that, may we pray together, please. Father, we are aware of the fact that our greatest need as born-again believers is to live our lives in right relationship to our Savior. And we're thankful indeed today that You've given us the means by which that is entirely possible. We're privileged individuals today because we've been born into Your kingdom. We're saved by Your matchless grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. And while we're here on the earth, we realize that You have a specific plan and purpose for our individual lives. Help us to be aware of the fact that we're not an accident here. We are here on purpose because God has not only brought us into existence, but He's allowed us to live to this very present moment. And so we bow to express our thanks today for the fact that we are Your children, saved by grace, and that we have the wonderful privilege of living our lives on a day-by-day basis, looking forward to that time when we shall leave this life to be absent from the body and to be at home with our Lord throughout eternity. We're thankful indeed today for Your matchless grace, grace in salvation, grace by which to live each day, and the grace that one day will take us home. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Over the weeks and past months, we've been looking at the subject Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. We're aware of the fact that over the past weeks, we have analyzed a number of books. We've gone through an emphasis on the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and now we have been in 1 and 2 Samuel. We're all aware of the fact that when we came into 1 Samuel, we emphasized that there were three men emphasized in those chapters. 1 Samuel, three men. Samuel in chapters 1 through 7, Saul in chapters 8 through 15, and David in chapters 16 to 31. We've analyzed the fact that we have looked at the man by the name of David, and that's moved us into our passage today, which is found in 2 Samuel. We're going to be looking today at 2 Samuel chapter 7, reading beginning with verse 14 and on down through several verses. If you'll open your Bibles now to 2 Samuel, we pick up our reading with verse 14. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Oftentimes when we're reading the Word of God, we read over it very rapidly, and we do not give it time to sink deep into our minds and hearts to understand what is being presented. What I want you to do is to follow me again as I look at these verses, 2 Samuel 7, 14. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. Verse 15 of 2 Samuel 7, but my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Now, if you will, please, let's go to the book of Mark. We're going to look at verses 35 and 36. We find this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. Mark chapter 12, 35, 36. And Jesus answering began to say, as he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself said, by means of the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put thine enemies beneath thy feet. I feel it's important for me to let you know that what we have in Mark 12, 35 and 36 is a reference to Psalm 110, verse 1. How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? The emphasis of our message today is the son of David. And Jesus answering began to say, as he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself said in Psalm 110, verse 1, by means of the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put thine enemies beneath thy feet. Now, if you will, please go to the book of Romans. And we're going to go to the first chapter. Romans chapter 1. We're going to be reading the first five verses. The Apostle Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Over the past years, we've taken a look at the timeline. On the screen, you see now the timeline, an emphasis that we've studied many, many, many times. We have an emphasis here, for instance, on the eternal ages past. We have an emphasis upon the eternal ages future. I'm going to point this out to you so that you can be sure that you have it clear in your thinking. We have an emphasis on the eternal ages past. We have an emphasis upon the eternal ages future. We will not go into all the details, but we'll give you some just highlighted moments. First of all, we have the age of the Gentiles. Then we have the age of Israel. Most of you are aware of the fact that when you go to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, you have an emphasis upon Abram, who became Abraham. And throughout that Old Testament time, from Genesis chapter 12, we know that this is the age called the age of Israel. We're all aware of the fact that Jesus Christ came on the scene during the time of the age of Israel. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. We also are aware of the fact that he came forth out of the grave, victorious over death and hell and the grave and sin, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. We have an emphasis then upon the fact that the beginning time which you and I now live, which is known as the age of intercalation, it is the age of grace, the church age. What is interesting to me is that we understand that Psalm 110 is a psalm of David. When you look at the emphasis of Psalm 110, in the light of all the verses we've just reminded you of, we've been able to see, first of all, that the nation of Israel is under discipline and no longer represents Jesus Christ on this earth. The nation of Israel has been replaced by all of us knowing this by the church, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ is being completed by entering every believer in this church age into union with our Savior Jesus Christ. All of this is presented in many verses of Scripture. Hebrews 1:13, Hebrews 10:13, Psalm 110 verse 1, Isaiah 66:1, many, many verses that I could give you. The body of Christ is being completed by entering every believer in this church age into the body of Jesus Christ. When the body, which is the invisible church, is completed, the rapture of the church will occur. Now you'll be able to see on the diagram before you that the time of the rapture is presented here. At this time, the body becomes the bride and is prepared for what is known as footstool operation. And that's the passage of Scripture which we're giving you over and over today. The bride receives a resurrection body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting when you go to 1 John chapter 1 verses, chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. Beloved, we do not know what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. At the time of the rapture, the old sin nature of the bride is removed. The bride is cleansed from all what we call do-goodism. That's an emphasis on what we gave you last Wednesday night. The bride is cleansed from all do-goodism. Then the bride will return in triumph with the groom at the time known as the second advent. And we point that out to you on the screen before you today. Then we have an emphasis in the scripture on what is known as footstool operation, or the triumph or the victory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Most of us are aware of the fact that that is a time when Satan will be imprisoned in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. That is a time when the demons will be removed from the earth, as predicted for us in Zechariah 13, 2, and made mention in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 24 and 25. When the demons are removed, the environment of the earth changes and causes perfect conditions of what we know as the millennium. And you see an emphasis on the subject of the millennium on the screen before you. What is amazing to me, as I study God's Word, to be able to see how all of these things are tied together. It is interesting to see that God used David to give us Psalm 110, and there is an emphasis upon all of the verses of Scripture which we've just referred to you from the New Testament. So that lets us know how we're to begin this study today. The title, of course, is The Son of David, the Messianic title. I enjoy reading from various theologians. I especially enjoy reading from theologians of many, many, many years ago. It lets me know that things are not just new for us. There have been people who've studied the Word of God for many years. And there's one man who has written a lot of information. His name is John Gill. And he says some things about Psalm 110, verse 1. For David himself said, by the Holy Spirit. Now remember that we're reading you Psalm 110, verse 1. For David himself said, by the Holy Spirit, being inspired by the Spirit of God. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. This is proof that David did call Christ his Lord, and that he called him so by means of the power of the Spirit of God, since these words were delivered by him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That the psalm was written by David. The title shows that he spoke it as he was influenced by the Holy Spirit. Our Lord declares, the passage relates to what God the Father said to Christ when, being risen from the dead, he ascended on high, entered into the most holy place. God bid him sit down at his right hand as having done the work of man's salvation. He was sent about to full satisfaction, and as a mark of affection to him and honor conferred upon him in his human nature, where he should continue till all his enemies, as well as Satan, and all his principalities and powers be subdued under him, as to be a footstool to his throne. And when David prophetically speaks of this, he calls the Messiah his Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, on which account the prophecy is cited, who was so, as he is God, and he is Creator, and he is Redeemer. That this prophecy is a prophecy of the Messiah and is applicable to no other but Jesus Christ, and is therefore pertinently cited and applied to him. I trust that you've listened attentively and carefully to that explanation in relationship to Psalm 110, verse 1. Please notice, the title today is Son of David, Messianic title. Again, I refer to Romans 1, 1 through 5, Mark 12, 35 and 36, and other verses which I've given you today. In the New Testament, Jesus is described as the Son of David, at least 17 verses. But we ask the question, how can Jesus be the Son of David when David lived many, many years before? The answer is that Christ the Messiah was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the seed of David. Now, I'm aware of the fact that it is important for me to reiterate some things. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is described as the Son of David at least 17 times. But we ask the question, and it's a normal question for us to ask, how can Jesus be the Son of David when David lived many, many years ago? The answer is that Christ the Messiah was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the seed of David. Now watch my words. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 14 through 16. Or as someone in recent days might say, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 14 through 16. Now, some of you watched my words and you caught on to that. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. I have fun. You have to understand, I have fun while I preach because I think of things that I feel like you need to be aware of, and I hit you once in a while under the belt a little bit. That's okay. The answer is that Christ the Messiah was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the seed of David. Presented to us in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 14, 15, and 16, which we read for you today. Jesus is the promised Messiah, which means he had to be of the lineage of David. Now notice again, Jesus is the promised Messiah, which means that he had to be of the lineage of David. When you go to the New Testament, you'll find two genealogies of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew 1 gives the genealogical proof that Jesus, in his humanity, was a direct descendant of Abraham and David through Joseph, Jesus' legal father. Now, I'm aware of the fact that over the years, many, many times I refer to this. And I'm aware of the fact that people don't always get this into their thinking. They have to hear it over and over and over again. Oh, I can quickly say that we have genealogy of our Savior in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. I can say this and do it rapidly, and it will not mean all that much to you. But I want you to see that when you go to Matthew chapter 1, there we have the genealogy of Jesus in his humanity, showing him as a direct descendant of Abraham and David through Joseph, Jesus' legal father. The genealogy in chapter 3 of Luke traces Jesus' lineage through his mother Mary. Jesus is a descendant of David by adoption through Joseph and by blood through Mary. It's important for you to get this clear in your thinking. The reason why I'm slowly giving you this information is because I do not want it to be something that you just say, well, I think that's great, but I don't understand what he's saying. We have two genealogies of Jesus Christ, one in Matthew chapter 1, the other in Luke chapter 3. I'll go back and let you see, because it's important that we see. Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Messiah, which means that he had to be of the lineage of David. We're emphasizing today the subject, Son of David, the messianic title. I back up a little bit. Jesus is the promised Messiah, which means that he had to be of the lineage of David. Matthew 1 is the first the genealogy that we referred to. It gives us the proof that Jesus in his humanity was a direct descendant of Abraham and David through Joseph, Jesus' legal father. The genealogy in Luke 3 traces Jesus' lineage through his mother Mary. There we see Jesus is a descendant of David by adoption through Joseph and by blood through Mary. As to his earthly life, Jesus Christ was a descendant of David. And that's the reason why we gave you Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It would be so interesting for me to just come and sit by your side and see what kind of notes you're taking now. I trust that you're doing a great job in taking these notes. Number one, the title, Son of David, is more than a statement of physical genealogy. The title, Son of David, is more than a statement of physical genealogy. It's an emphasis upon the long-awaited deliverer, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. It just makes me really want to cry as I think about how wonderful it is to see how the Bible all fits together. And you can start out with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and make your way, plod your way through all of these chapters. And I'm aware of the fact that sometimes you can stumble and fall as you go through these various passages, but you have to see how it's all tied together. The title, Son of David, is more than a statement of physical genealogy. It is an emphasis upon the long-awaited deliverer, the fulfillment of these Old Testament prophecies. Number two, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, it speaks of a woman whose daughter was being tormented by a demon, and Jesus was addressed there as, Lord, thou Son of David. Isn't that interesting? In Matthew chapter 15, 22, it speaks of a woman whose daughter was being tormented by a demon, and Jesus was addressed at that moment as, Lord, thou Son of David. Number three, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 30, two blind men cried out to the Son of David for help. The title that they gave him declared their faith in him and expressed their sense of knowing some things about him, his deity, his dominion, his power. And it's revealed in their faith that he was the Messiah. Matthew chapter 20, verse 30. Roman numeral 4. Even the Pharisees understood what the people meant when they called Jesus Son of David. But being blinded by their pride, what do we find? They could not see what the blind beggars could see, that Jesus was truly the Savior of the world. Let me pause to tell you what I thought when I got to this point. Some people are blind physically and see and can see spiritually, like which people who have physical abilities cannot see. Did you understand what I just said? Here we see even the Pharisees understood what the people meant when they called Jesus Son of David, but being blinded by their pride, could not see as the blind beggars could see, that Jesus was truly the Savior of the world. Please be aware of the fact that you and I appreciate my physical ability to see. I really do. Because I'm aware of the fact that since shingles hit my right side of my face some years ago, that all of my vision is not there now. And I appreciate my ability to see. But I want you to see something. Even if I could not, and if you could not see physically, God desires that we have our spiritual eyes open so that we can see spiritually. Number five, Jesus also had a way of confusing scribes and Pharisees by asking them to explain the meaning of this very title. He asked, how can the Messiah be the son of David, when David himself refers to Jesus as my Lord? Now you notice what the sounds like in a confusing fashion. Jesus also had a way of dealing with the scribes and Pharisees by asking them to explain the meaning of this very title. He says, how can the Messiah be the son of David when David himself refers to Jesus as my Lord? That's Mark chapter 12, 35-37. The teachers of the law could not answer. So Jesus then exposed the Jewish teachers and revealed their inability. I'm just going to mark out the word ignorance because that doesn't sound very well. So Jesus exposed the Jewish teachers and revealed their inability to see and understand Old Testament teachings. Number six, in Mark chapter 12, we referred to that passage earlier today, verses 35 and 36. Jesus pointed out that the Messiah is more than the physical son of David. All right, please listen. What did I just say? God used an instrument here to write these words in Mark chapter 12, 35 and 36. And here Jesus is pointing out that the Messiah is more than the physical son of David. If he's David's Lord, he has to be greater than David. And Jesus revealed that in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. What does it say? Jesus said, I am the root and the offspring of David. I am of the root and of the offspring of David. Which means that he is both the creator of David and the descendant of David. You've got to listen. You've got to pay close attention. You've got to allow yourself to be under the influence of God's Holy Spirit to be able to comprehend what fantastic words are being presented. Look at it again. In Mark chapter 12, 35 and 36, Jesus pointed out that the Messiah is more than the physical son of David. If he is David's Lord, he has to be greater than David. And Jesus reveals that in Revelation 22:16, where it says, I am the root and the offspring of David, which means that he is both the creator of David and the descendant of David. Only the Son of God made flesh could say that. I just want to pause and let you think about how fantastic that is. Are you able to see it? Only the Son of God in flesh. We're talking about the Theos Anthropos. We're talking about the God-man. We're talking about God incarnation. We're talking about God in the flesh. In the eternal ages past, the members of the Godhead looked down and they saw you and me and all the peoples of the generations of time needing help, needing a solution to a major problem. And deity too, putting this in modern terminology, deity too, I believe in essence said to deity one and deity three, there has to be someone who is equal to God and man to pay the price for the sins of mankind. And deity two said to deity one, I'll go to the earth and I will become the God-man, all God, all man. And that is exactly what we have. All of this is prophesied, is coming along all the way through. You look at it page by page, after page after page. And what do you have? You have a presentation of what's going to happen for you and for me. The offspring of David. which means that he is both the creator of David and the descendant of David. Look at number 7. Jesus was called the Son of David during the triumphant entry. Number 8. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people acknowledged him as the Son of David. Number 9. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest." Matthew 21:9. Oh, can you see it? You've got to see it. The Son of David. Jesus Christ, the Son of David. In the temple, in Jerusalem, the people addressed Jesus as the Son of David, David's son. I'm so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he's given us. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Are you glad he loves you? Oh, if there's only one song I can sing. When in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song through eternity be. Oh, what a wonderful that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, and I know I love him. Love brought him down, my poor soul to redeem. Yes, it was love made him die on the tree. Oh, I am certain that Jesus loves me. If one should ask of me, how can I tell? Glory to Jesus. I know him very well. God's Holy Spirit with mine doth agree, constantly witnessing, Jesus loves me. In this assurance I find sweet rest, trusting in Jesus. I know I'm blessed. Satan, dismayed, for my soul now doth flee, when I just tell him that Jesus loves me. Woo! May we pray together, please. Father, we've been made aware of the fact again that this book is so wonderful and that you have so much for us here. And if we're indifferent to these things, we're going to miss what you've really prepared for us. And we don't want to miss it. Help us to know that we have a completed canon of Scripture here. The Holy Spirit of God has preserved this book for us and given us the magnificent information that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and that he was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth as the God-man and go to the cross and die for us. And that because of all he's done for us, we should respond in an affirmative manner. We should say yes. We should be enthusiastic about spiritual things. We should have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. We are aware of the fact that there's so much here for us to learn. Most of all, we're thankful for the fact that salvation is ours through Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Messianic title. We're thankful for it. And for those who hear this message today, some may yet have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. But they don't have to go on any longer lost. they can come to know Jesus Christ at this moment if they'll do what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's so simple and yet so profound. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received Him, that's Jesus, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Sons of God. Father, we're thankful for the plan of salvation that's so vividly and wonderfully presented to us, that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. And we thank you over and over and over again for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.